Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Etchelam. We're now in Masachet Bav Metzia, Daf Kuf, Amud Bet at the bottom. We'll be looking at Mishnah Hey and then Mishnah Vav in the eighth parak of Masachet Bav Metzia. And we'll pick it up here with Mishnah Hey. Maskir by the Chaviro. Take it back. Hamocher zeitav leitzav. Excuse me. Hamocher zeitav leitzav ve'asu pachot mirvit l'seya. If a person sells some olive trees, he has some olive trees that are of poor quality, and he sells them for wood, meaning for burning, and it turns out they make less than mirvit halug of oil from a seya of olives. In other words, they're very poor olives. Hare'elu shabala zeitim. Then that oil belongs to the fellow who bought the wood. Asu revi'id l'seya, but if they made more, like revi'id, ze omer zeitai gidlu, the fellow who bought the wood said, it's my trees that generated it. Ze omer artzi gidla, and the original owner says, it's my land that generated it. So yachloku, we split it, and again, it's momen amuta basofek, just like we had earlier, unclear who was generating the profit. Shataf nahar zeitav unetanam l'toch zdei chaviro. Let's say that a river uprooted the trees and replanted them in another field. Ze omer zeitai gidlu, ze omer artzi gidla. So the fellow who bought the wood said, the trees said, my trees generated the oil. And the other one says, no, my land generated it. Yachloku. So he now splits it with the new landowner and the fellow who bought the trees. Now, echidami, what's the case? If the, this is back in the Reisha, if the original owner said to him, cut the trees down immediately, then, then even if it made very little, it should belong to the balakarka, because he said cut it down right away. The fellow didn't cut it down right away, so any residuals should belong to the landowner. If on the other hand he said to him, whenever you want to cut it down, go ahead. Then afilu revit nami the bal zeitim. Even if it's more, it should belong to the bal zeitim because the landowner didn't give him any time or point at which he had to cut it down, and he should, it seems like he's mochel. So let's see chad amar leistamas. It's a case where he just said cut it down. He didn't say immediately. He didn't say whenever you want. Just to cut it down. Pachot revit lokap de inshi. If it makes less than revit, then the landowner is not makpid on it. So you got the wood. You got some oil too. Revit kapti inish. Once it makes that much revit, then people are makpid on it and say, wait a second, I sold you trees, I didn't sell you oil. I didn't know my olives were going to do that well, so I get the oil. Now, Amar Shimon Pazi, revit she'amru, when we say that if it made a revit, that's chutz min al-hotza'ah, which means you have to subtract from that what the wood buyer had to put into harvesting and pressing to get the oil out. That he certainly keeps. Now, shatar nahar zeitav. The second half of the Mishnah dealt with this odd case where a river came and washed away his trees and ended up somewhere else. Now, Amar Ula, Amar Shlokish. Well, Shlokish put a limitation on this. There's two versions of it, both presented by tradents who came to Babel. So Ula is the first one. He says, Lo shanu el shenekru b'gusheinu l'achar shalosh. He said it's only true if the trees were uprooted with the dirt around them, we'll talk about that in a minute, and after 3 years, meaning the trees have been planted, and at least 3 years later, they were uprooted, and they have the dirt that went around them, which means that they will now not be subject to a new orla cycle, but they're considered to be transplanted with their dirt, and they are able to be eaten now. Avetoch shalosh, but if it's within 3 years, hakol shabala zetim, everything that comes to the bala zetim, why? Damar le yad natat, the guy who bought the wood could say to the owner, if you had planted, so to the new landowner, if you had planted these trees here, betoch shalosh mi'ar b'yachlat, you couldn't eat from them. So vole male, why doesn't the new landowner say, the fellow who's the river deposited his footsteps say, he ananati, if I had planted it, lachar shalosh habayachil alei kule, after 3 years, I could have eaten all of it. So hashtaka achlat palga badoi, so now split it. So why can't the landowner say that? Ela kiata ravin amar shlokish. So ravin came with a better version of shlokish. Lo shanu el shenekru begushin matoch shalosh. That the split is only if it is uprooted during 3 years with the land. But if it's after 3 years, I call the balakark, everything belongs to the guy whose land it is. If I had planted it, it would have been totally mine. So So why doesn't the guy who bought the wood say to the fellow who, the lucky guy who the trees ended up in his land, why doesn't he say, listen, if you had planted it for the first 3 years, you couldn't eat it. Now that you're eating it, so split with me. Because the landowner said, if I had planted it, they would have been thin little olive trees at the beginning. And so for the first 3 years, I couldn't benefit from them, but I would have been able to plant other things near them, like little vegetables, because there would have been no blockage of sun. The olive tree would be so thin, it wouldn't block the sun, and I could have planted stuff there. So I still could have benefited. Okay, Tana, Amar Halo Zetayani Notel. Let's say that the original landowner comes to the new landowner, the guy meaning the guy who the trees ended up in, and says, I'm taking my trees back, and I'm replanting my property, Ein Shomin Lo. We don't allow him to do it. My Tama, why? Amar Biyochan Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There's two ways to read this, Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. One is, once something is planted where it is, we don't want to keep uprooting it. The other one is, that once this new guy has a few trees there, he's going to plant some more trees to make it look nice and to fill it in, and therefore we enhance Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. Gondot Tzricha Rabba. Rabbi Yirmiyah said this, we need to really Rabbi Yochanan, the great rabbi for. In other words, the rule that you can't take your trees out is a strange rule, and we need a Rabbi Yochanan to explain the reason. Now, we'll see another example of this Tzricha Rabba. Tanatam, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer HaMakarel said, if somebody gets his ancestral land, we'll see what that means, from a non-Jew, and he's renting it, Me'aser V'notein Lo. He has a separate masrot, and he owes to this fellow whatever the rental is, whether or not it produces. Now, Savruah, in our analysis, we thought, my Steavotav, what does Steavotav mean? Eretz Yisrael. It just means Eretz Yisrael land. It doesn't mean family land. My call is Steavotav, Steavraham Yitzchak V'Yakov, the land of his ancestors, the patriarchs. Because Savruah, in Kinyan L'Nochri, Eretz Yisrael, Yivkiyah Midei Miyad Masar. This is a sugya we dealt with in Gittin, in the fourth parak of Gittin, and it's a sugya that appears in Dmai and in Pei and several other places. So according to this approach, we think that if a non-Jew buys land in Eretz Yisrael, it's still chayav in Shemot and Masrot. And that's why you have to separate Masrot when you're working his land. U'makabel kechocher dami. And somebody who leases the land is like a sharecropper. Ma chocher bein avad u'bein lo avad bo yasur meitan leim. Sharecropper, whether or not the land produces, still has to separate masrot from what he gets and still pay his rental. It's a debt. Same thing. That's what we thought. So, mother of Kahana of Papi, Vamla of Zvid. So, Rabbi Yehuda said in another version, if you get your ancestral land from an oppressor, a non-Jewish oppressor who's stealing land, so my year you matzik, why did they pick an oppressor? Why didn't you say a non-Jew? For then matzik nami. The position of this baraita is that a goy's kinyan Eretz Yisrael does uproot it from maser. There is no chiyuv maserot. Somebody who rents is not like a choker. What does Steavotav mean? Steavotav mamash. It really means your ancestral land. It's only in this case, well, you got your own ancestral land that the rabbis put a fine on you that you have to separate masrot. Since you love this land, because it's ancestral land, you're going to add a little bit more and you're going to try to take it. But in somebody else, they didn't put such a fine on. So why they put this knas on him? So he will make it clearly his own, meaning he will now work to try to buy the land because he doesn't have much benefit renting it because he has to pay so much, so therefore he's going to try to buy it back and it'll go back into his family's hands. Rabbi Yirmiyah Gondot Tzricha Rabba. And again, Rabbi Yirmiyah said, without Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, we wouldn't have known to conjecture that on our own. Okay, Itmar. If a guy goes into another person's yard, the field, and plants trees there without asking permission. So Rav Shamin Lo. Rav says, the guy who now has trees in his property has to pay. We estimate. But the planter has the disadvantage, meaning that there is a certain amount of expense, a certain amount of profit. Whatever is the lesser amount is what he gets paid. We say, no, we figure out how much a person would pay to have this field planted, and that's what you get paid. So Amar Papa Velo Pligi, there's really no difference, no disagreement. Kan Misadeha Suyalita, if it's a field that's set up for planting, then we take Shmuel's position. That's what Shmuel's talking about. Kan Misadeha Suyalita, but if it's a field that's not set up for planting, then we take Rav's statement, which is that we estimate to see how much the expense was and how much the profit is, and you get paid the lesser amount. By the way, Rav's position was not stated explicitly. We figured it out from a case. What's that? Tahuda to the Kamei de Rav, a guy came to Rav. Amar le'zil shumle. So a fellow came to Rav and said, this guy planted trees in my property. I never asked him to. So Rav said, okay, do an estimation and then pay him. Amar le'lom va'ina. I don't want these trees. So Amar le'zil shumle v'yadar al tachtona. So Rav said, estimate it, but you'll pay the lower amount. Amar le'lom va'ina. The guy said, I don't want the trees. I'm not going to pay. Sof chazed agadu v'kamantala. Rav then saw that the same fellow who was protesting and wanted trees built a fence around the property and was watching it to protect the trees. Now I see you really want the trees. Zil shumle v'yadu al yona. Now you've got to estimate and you've got to pay him the higher amount because you've demonstrated you really want the trees. Okay. Itmar, and this, by the way, is not only how we know Rav's position, but we also know that Rav's position is specifically about a case where it's a field that's not normally planted. Itmar, hayored the tochurvato shel chaveru. If a fellow goes into another's empty lot, uvna'a shelo b'shuto, he rebuilds a destroyed house there without asking his permission. I want to take my, and then he says, I want to take my stuff back, I take my wood back and my stones back. Nachman Ar Shominlo, Rav Nachman says you allow him to. It's his stuff. Sheshtamar Ein Shominlo. Nemeitavei, we have a challenge from Nachman. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Beit Shammai Omrim Shominlo, Vitel Omrim Ein Shominlo. The same machloket plays out, Beit Shammai Hillel. Well, Lamer Rav Nachman, Amar Ka Beit Shammai, Rav Nachman's taking the position of Beit Shammai. That's weird. The answer is no. Who da Amar Ki Tana? Rav Nachman said like the following Tana, the Tanya Shominlo to Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that Shammai Hill didn't disagree about this. Everybody says if you build stuff on somebody else's property without his consent, you can go in and take it back. Shimon Gamliel or Rabbi Shammai Shominlo Vetolom Remain Shominlo. Shimon Gamliel disagreed with Rabbi Shimon Elazar and said it was a machlok of Shammai Hillel, and the position that you, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, are presenting as a consensus really was only Rabbi Shammai's position. Now, my Havela, what's the halacha in both this case and the previous case? Yaakov and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan again shares with us. B'bayit Shominlo. If it's a question of a house, we listen. We let you take the stuff back. But Sadein Shominlo. But if it's something like planting in a field, we don't. Sadem Aitama. Why don't we allow you in a field? If you say I planted some trees and I want it back, Mishum Yishu Eretz Yisrael. Because here we're planting something in Eretz Yisrael. We don't want to tear it down. So Ikadam Mishum Kacha Shadaro. Perhaps because it hurts the land, you plant, you take out, you uproot, you plant. So my benai, what's the difference between these two reasons? Ikbenai chutzlarts. The difference is chutzlarts. And chutzlarts, only if we take the second position, will it still be prohibited to allow him to take stuff out. Okay, the next mishnah, mishnah vav. Hamaskir bayit l'chaveru matak shamim. If you rent out a house to someone during winter, you can't evict him from the house, meaning you have another tenant, or you want to rebuild the house, whatever you want to do, you can't do it from Sukkot to Pesach. In the summer, you have to give him 30 days' notice. In the major cities, you have to give him 12 months' notice. But by the way, that's strange because that means 12 months' notice even in the winter. So if he came in midwinter and you tell him in 12 months you're out of here, that means you're going to throw him out in the middle of the winter, which you just said you can't do. We have to put that together. If let's say it's not a residence but a business, whether big cities or towns, you have to give him 12 months because other people are going to come to pay him back debts that they owe, and he's not there, so he has to have time to say, I'm leaving in a while, and collect. If you have a store of bakers, a bakery, or a dye store, or a painting store, then you have 3 years, because they have, as we'll see at the end of the Gemara, a long process of credit, and people won't know how to find them. Okay, the Gemara says, Ma'ishna yimotak shamim, why do we say that in winter you can't throw them out? Tachi agar inish beitav motak shamim, agar l'chul yimotak shamim. The first understanding is, when you rent in winter, you rent for the whole winter. So yimotak hamanam, inish agar inish beitav, l'chul yimotak hamagar. Same thing for the summer. People rent a house for the summer, it's for the whole summer. You shouldn't be able to throw them out to Sukkot, because after all, they rented to be near the harvest for whatever reason. So that doesn't work. What's the real reason for not throwing them out in the winter? Because you can't find another house to rent. So if that's the case, in the summer you can, or you can camp out. In the big cities, whether winter or summer, you need 12 months. As I mentioned, let's say your 12 months ran out in the middle of the summer, winter. You're allowed to throw them out. But you just said that in the winter you can't find a new place to live. So why are you allowed to throw them out in midwinter if it's 12 months? It doesn't mean 12 months. It means you have to notify them. You have to give them 12 months notification. If you just rent a house without specifying how long, you could throw him out in the winter, but you could only throw him in the winter if you gave him 30 days notice. He has time to find a new place. So if you made it in the midwinter and it's a 12-month thing, then he knows he has a whole year to find a new place. That 30 days and 12 months in our Mishnah is how much time you have to notify him in advance. And just like the owner, the landlord has to give notice, the renter also does. Because lessor can say, if you had notified me, I would have found a good tenant. Now I don't have time. A simple read of Rav Asi is if the guy comes in for one day during the winter, he can't throw him out till Pesach. But we just got through saying you just have to give him 30 days notice. Meaning, if he comes in during those 30 days, then he can't throw him out. Because if he's in 30 days before Pesach, you notify him, then when is he going to leave? Amarvuna v'imbal rabot b'dameha marbe. So Rashi adds something in. Let's say that the landlord says, okay, you can stay longer, but I'm going to raise your rent. He's allowed to do that. What, you're squeezing him? I won't say how, but you're pressuring this guy in an impossible way to get something out of him. After all, he's got to live there, and you're raising the rent on him? We're talking about a case where all of real estate went up, and it's very clear that this guy is losing money by letting you stay in at the old rate. Okay, pshita, nafale beta. It's very clear that if the house that you're renting crashes in, the landlord could say to the tenant, you know better than off than I am. I lost my house. You don't have any claims against me. Zavne or orte or yahave matana. If the owner sold it or bequeathed it, he died, or he gave it as a gift, you know better than somebody who comes sort of on the coattails of somebody else. Of the fellow who sold it to you, all right? The tenant can say, just like the guy the original landlord couldn't throw me out. You bought it from him, you inherited from him. You can't throw me out as well, all right? So he has that claim. Chloe Livray, but let's say that the owner gave it to his son as a Beit Chatanut. If there was enough time to let the guy know, he should have let him know, and now the tenant has a claim. But if there wasn't such time, the wedding was done very quickly. He could say, you're no better than I, you have no claim. And now we end with this particular story. Hahu Gavra, there was a particular guy, Dezavan Arba de Chamra. He bought a whole bunch of wine. Lo ashkach tuchta l'utuve. He had nowhere to put this wine. Amar lehi itatash. He said to a woman, ilach tuchta l'gori. Do you have a place that I can rent? Amar lelo. She said no. Azal kitcha. He went in his mekadisher. Yav le tuchta l'aile. So she gave him a place to put it. He knew she had a spot. Azal levete. He went to his house. Katav lagita. Then he wrote a get. And he was using this woman. Shadala. He sent to her. Azlai. She went. Agrash guloi minei uvei. She hired people who took the stuff out. Apikte va'ota b'shvila. She threw it out. Amar v'una b'reder av Yeshua. Kasher asa ken yaseh lo gmolo yashuv v'rosho. he quoted from Gilad Esther, right? That this guy gets back on his head what he did. Certainly, if it was a chatzah that wasn't generally being used for rent, even if it's one that's normally used for rent, she could say, I'd rent it to anybody else, but I'm not to you. You're like a lion waiting, crouching to hurt me. So she has the right to do that. Okay, the end of the Mishnah, and I explained why, because they have a long standing credit, in other words, it lasts for a long time, and therefore they need to be available for a while for people to come and pay them back, and therefore they get 3 years according to Shem Gamliel. Okay, we'll pause at this point, we'll pick it up in Yirtzeh Hashem in the next podcast, in our final podcast of the eighth parak. Meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.